You may be seated. Children can be excused to Children's Church and Teen Church. On Sunday mornings, we've been looking at various kinds of liberty. We started off with spiritual liberty, which cannot be taken from us because that's within us. We looked at religious liberty, which can be taken away because that is dictated by circumstances outside of us. We're looking at political liberty this morning. God gives liberty, and He is the only source of liberty. He's not the giver of freedom. We enjoy freedom because God has given us liberty to enjoy it. But one more time, liberty is the freedom to do the right thing. That is liberty. Liberty is a freedom to do the right thing. Freedom, on the other hand, is the ability or the lack of restraint from doing whatever you want. It involves sin in many cases. That's why we practice freedom, and that's how we sin against God. But liberty comes from God and has been given us by God. Now, in our Constitution, it talks about inalienable rights. Those can be taken away against the will of God. It is God's will that we have liberty. If that is taken away, it is because we permit it. Now, on Sunday nights, we're looking at the Jesus of the Gospels, and we have looked at His birth, we've looked at His baptism and His temptation, and tonight we're going to look at another aspect of that, and I hope you will come back tonight. But next week, I've been working on this thing for many weeks. Next week, we're going to get into the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there is so much material there that I don't know how long it's going to take. Of course, in chapter 5 of Matthew, we have the Beatitudes. And one of those is what? The meek shall inherit the earth. Is that true? Excuse me. The meek's going to have to wait in line. Everything in God's word is true. We just don't always understand the circumstances or what Christ was indicating when He gave us that information. And so we will look at that excuse me, I'm sorry. I think it's my wife's fault. I want to start off with a verse that has to do with political liberty. And it's in Jeremiah 34, verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah 34, verses 16 and 17. God talking through the prophet Jeremiah to Israel says, "But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty for you, saith the Lord. To the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will, therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord. To the sword, to the pestilence, to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. There is a price for giving up liberty. In this passage, God is rebuking Israel for deserting his commandments, which provided liberty for all of the people of the nation. God had said, okay, if you've got a servant, in the seventh year, you let that servant go. You don't take them back, put them back under bondage again. You turn them loose. No price to be paid. They have the right to liberty. And as we sit here this morning, most of us are old enough to understand that we grew up in a nation where liberty was expected, where we never anticipated the taking away of any liberties. And then this coronavirus hit, and it was used by certain enterprising, deceitful people to take away many of our liberties. Big business has taken away our freedom of speech. I am so glad that Connie and I are not on Facebook, because they too have taken away freedom of speech. There are many large communication forums. Every one of them has united to take away and deprive us of our freedom of speech. And a Christian should not be a part of that. One of my favorite beverages took a political stand in Georgia, and I no longer use that beverage. But folks, we have a requirement to exercise the liberties that God has given us. Yes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I don't need to inherit the earth. That's not my home. This world is not my home. And some of you can sing the same song. Most of you can sing it. I'm just passing through. And so I don't need to hang on to this. But I do need to hang on to my liberty. And so do you. That you have the freedom of speech. That you can tell somebody about Jesus, that you can read the Bible in front of an abortion clinic and not be put in jail for it. That you can preach. Remember when 3 years ago or 4 years ago, the mayor of Houston said that all pastors had to submit their messages for approval? That was a test. There have been many other tests over the years. Waco was a test to see how many Christians would complain, or how many Christians, people who claim to have freedom of religion, might object to the fact that 84 children were killed, plus the adults and everything, in a supposedly religious institution. It didn't happen. Things didn't get said. So, we are going to have to make sure that we exercise our liberty. God is the one who gives liberty. God has challenged those in authority who are responsible for ruling the nation of Israel. He challenged them, make your people give their servants liberty every 7 years. But they wouldn't do it. We must exercise the liberty that God has given us. As a church, we have a right to worship however we want, however our consciences dictate to us. And if there are things that we think are wrong, we have the right to say, we have the liberty to say that right now under the Constitution of the United States of America. However, that Constitution is being deceitfully suspended. There are certain things that if I were to put it on our sign out front, they would shut us down as a church because it's supposedly against the law. And it's actually quoting God's word. They have termed it hate speech. And we must be free to speak God's word. We must be free to obey God's word. That's part of our liberty. And yet that is what is trying to be restricted from us. And we must take a stand as God's people. A stand that we have not consistently taken before, but one that we must take now. The action of the Israelite authorities in permitting the slaves to be taken back as slaves and the servants to be taken back as bondservants. That bothered God. That was against his command, against his laws. This action was distressing to God, and so he used the prophet Jeremiah to warn the rulers of impending doom. That was going to be the consequence of their unfaithfulness. God was the one who directed the men who founded our great nation to establish true liberty as expressed in the Bill of Rights. After the Constitution was written, some states had reservations about signing it and becoming a part of that. And so added to the Constitution was a Bill of Rights that gave us certain liberties, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. For over 200 years, we have lived under the liberty that was ordained of God to a free people, living under the rule of law. The First Amendment guaranteed freedom of speech and press, but as important as these two things are, it also granted religious freedom of conscience. And almost a century ago, a group of politicians began the development of a different philosophy called a progressive philosophy. You've heard of progressives. They started over 100 years ago. This philosophy moved those involved toward a one-world government and a single society under the control of a select group of governors. Actually, it was a movement toward controlled socialism. Under such a system, privileged individuals who could control all of the other people, and they knew that the people would not accept that philosophy when they started it 100 years ago, so they would have to slowly transition until they had control of the press and the court system. They have that control. In order for this system to work, there would have to be a two-tiered legal system with justice
for none. The privileged people would be not be accountable for their actions or deeds, and the truth would be whatever they said it was. Folks, that's the age we're living in right now. The Bible had to be discredited and purged from public display and use. All of the efforts to get rid of the Ten Commandments on buildings, we sat back and let it go on. Because those Ten Commandments are the basis for which our law is built. The Bible stands upon that. They are the beginning of truth. They are the foundation of that. Political power would belong only to a select group of people who would be unaccountable to anyone other than themselves. Now, a particular form of government was ordained of God. He is the one who planted this nation. It was overseen by God under the leadership of God. God placed in every man or woman born into this world a knowledge of himself that should be used to guide all governance. We refer to the things within us as conscience. We all have one. The Bible speaks about the endowing of mankind with knowledge that God desires for man. We're told about it in Romans chapter 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, what is the born-again child of God to do when he discovers himself or herself under the influence of progressives? We have to remember, God is still in control. God is still in control. Just as he told the rulers in Israel that they would be removed for such activities, we can request God do the same thing for unfaithful leaders. Somewhere along the way, they have turned their backs on God and have begun to worship the gods of power and wealth. Power and wealth have become idols to them, and they are pursuing it without thought of the consequences. The cost that they will eventually have to pay will be the loss of their eternal souls. Let me say that again. The cost that they will eventually have to pay will be the eternal loss of their souls, unless they repent and turn back to God, the God of creation. And right now that seems very unlikely. Fortunately, we are not accountable to obey the progressives. We are accountable only to God as we sit here this morning. He is the one that we are accountable to. We have the responsibility to be faithful to our Savior and our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians church, had this to say in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 and 33. Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That was Paul writing to the Corinthian church 2,000 years ago. Still true today. Truth is like that, you know. Once it's truth, it's truth. Now, Jesus Christ came and he ministered to mankind to prove that he was who the prophet said he would be. And we have placed our faith in him and our trust in him, and he has given us eternal life. But he has also, with that eternal life, given us a commission to fulfill. That's why we're meeting here this morning. That's why we're looking in his word. We must keep our focus upon the job that he has given us to do. If we keep our eyes upon the Holy Spirit's direction, we can continue to serve Jesus regardless of circumstances. We can be faithful to our Savior and the commission that he has given us, even under the rule of a despot or a dictator. We can still obey God. Keep in mind that our liberty does not come from government. Government is not a source of liberty. It is a source of bondage. Liberty comes from God, and much of his liberty is in our hearts, where men can't touch it. Within God's liberty, we can fulfill the Great Commission. And it was important enough that he recorded it in several places in his word. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 28, the last three verses of that chapter. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore," that's directed to us, "and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, that's in Matthew. We also find it recorded in Acts, the book of Acts, telling us what the disciples did in that first century. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Jesus met with his disciples. They were all there gathered around him. And then he told them, Acts 1, 8 and 9, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem," where they were, "and in all Judea," the country around them, "and in Samaria," the northern kingdom that had gone away from the Lord into idolatry, "and unto the uttermost part of the world." That's Cameroon, that's India, where we're sending money for rice. That's all over the whole world. God has given us the power through Jesus Christ to reach those people. And then verse 9 it says, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." That's how Jesus left this world. And we are told that he is coming back the same way. That there will be a cloud and he will appear out of that cloud and say, come up hither. And we will respond. Now there's one other passage that can be of great help in our understanding of what Jesus wants us to do with each day that he gives us. And this day is a gift from God. Tomorrow, if he gives it, is a gift from God. We don't have to live through tomorrow. But if you wake up in the morning and you can put your feet on the floor or any other part of your body, there's a couple of people here know what I'm talking about. But if you can respond, if you're still alive tomorrow, God has a purpose for you. A purpose. Luke 24, 44 through 49. Luke 24, 44 through 49. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, which he did. And that beginning at Jerusalem, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I hope that everybody seated here this morning understands that the moment that you called out to Jesus to be saved, to have your sins forgiven, to become a child of God, at that very moment, you were endued with a very special power. It is in you right now. He has a name. He is a person. He is called the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. He is the power that gives us the ability to fulfill the commands of God. Each reference that we have looked at so far, one thing is common to each. Jesus has provided the power for us to be able to fulfill his commands. We started off with Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given unto me. That was Jesus. He has all power. The power is not limited nor inaccessible. It's available 24/7. And it's the greatest power in the world. Before Jesus commissioned us, he informed us that with the commission, he was providing the power. It has nothing to do with age or intelligence, but it comes directly to us through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. None of us have to be ashamed. It's within us. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you have the power of God operating in your life. There's no price on it. It's not limited to any particular time of day, but it's always available to whomsoever will. The current political environment is not conducive to the promoting of the Christian faith. In fact, its desire of the current authority is to destroy the Christian faith or any semblance of it, to destroy any semblance of a free society that was done under the submission to God's authority. For lack of vigilance, we have let much of our outward liberty slip away. And I cannot wonder if the liberty of the Israelites was permitted to slip away the same way, by not taking action, by not exercising the liberty which they had in God. It was God who gave it, and it will be God who returns it, if he chooses to return it. Great affluence seems to lead to great negligence. Great affluence seems to lead to great negligence. And I know that we've been told by God very clearly in his word that that is a matter of fact. Romans 13, 1 and 2 tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now there is something that we have not addressed concerning all of us. We're talking about political liberty as coming from God, and it does. The problem is that liberty sometimes makes us careless. For over 200 years, the church was vigilant to keep the teaching and the preaching true to the standards that God gave us to practice our Christian faith. Sometime in the 1940s, the church began to let those standards slip. And we became lax in our practices of God's instruction for the believer. The teaching and the preaching became diluted and weak. And I'm sure that God was not pleased by the decline in the church that represented his association with man. So what makes a church strong? The early church was strong. Have you ever thought about it? It had to be strong because of spiritual and religious liberty that was in their hearts was being suppressed by the people in their society. A little over a century ago, and Tim used the name of the Frenchman 2 weeks ago, I believe. What's that? Tofield. Made a statement about the United States after he came and toured it. At the end of his visit, he made this observation. America is great because it's good. And when it ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. I believe that the mortality that used to exist in our, or morality that used to exist in our society has vanished. And that morality has been corrupted to the point that our great nation may be on the verge of being lost. There are still pockets of morality, but most of the nation has been corrupted by selfishness and greed. There seems to be a lust for controlling power that crosses political party lines, and is leading to a total collapse and destruction of individual liberty. Any liberty which might be left is in the hands and souls of the children of God. It's our hands. It's our souls. And we are the ones that must defend it. Defend it by practicing publicly what this book tells us. My prayer this morning is that God's people will use the liberty that they still have to advance the plan and the kingdom of God through the power that we will find in God's Holy Spirit within us. We have a job to do. There's a lot of lost people out there. They've got to know they're lost. They've got to know they can't work their way to heaven. They've got to know they can't give their way to heaven. They've got to know that they cannot bribe their way to heaven or lie their way to heaven. God is not going to accept any of that. The only thing that God will accept is the truth of His word. And we must portray that truth in each of our lives. Political liberty, yes, we have it. But we must exercise it to maintain it. And so far, the church hasn't really done that. Will God permit us to do it? I don't know. But I do know this one thing. There is no excuse for any one of us not knowing to do what we know to do. So we'll continue to have Sunday school. We'll continue to meet for a morning worship service. We'll continue to meet for an evening worship service. We'll continue to meet on Wednesday nights and see how God dealt with His people, that we might not make the same mistakes or we might overcome what God wants us to do. We sang Victory in Jesus this morning. That's where it is. And that's where it's going to be. We just have to reach out and take it. Let's pray. Father, we do know that You love us. We do know that You've provided for us, that You have placed us here. You have given us the privilege of being born into this great nation. And Father, You have given us Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die for our sin. You have sent Your Holy Spirit to provide us with the power we need to live for You. May Your people, Father, that's us, may we obey Your commands. May we live lives that are victorious in Jesus. May we share Him with all those we come in contact with. May He be seen as the foundation for each of our lives. And Father, we will praise You for what You do, because we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.